This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by OutSkill. Berlin, April 1945. Wilhelm Wolff, the Reich's astrologer, stood in a bunker beneath the burning city reading star charts. He saw something that terrified him. Mars would enter Leo on April 30th, and when it did, Adolf Hitler would die. Wolff kept the prediction to himself. 5 days later, Hitler killed himself. Mars entered the constellation Leo that exact afternoon. This wasn't the first prophecy that predicted the rise of Hitler. They actually started 500 years before he was born.
Human, did you get my oscopy?
The Christmas coma that saved Hanukkah. This sounds like a war crime.
Lighthouse Pitches. They found me a telegram and paid me in Chili's gift cards.
How much in Chili's gift cards?
$4,700. That's a lot of chips and queso. And I negotiated the Awesome Blossom as a part of back-end points. A standard Hollywood deal.
It's set in Holly Pines, where it's always Christmas and everyone owns a bakery.
Inside a snow globe that was cursed by an elf who was jilted at the altar. A very tragic backstory.
Yeah. Did the AI also come up with the lead character, Noelle Mistletoe, who has a PhD in feelings?
From Yale! The AI said it makes her relatable to coastal elites.
And her dark secret is fruitcake.
It's a metaphor, human. It represents her inability to let go of the past. The fruitcake is 40 years old and still hasn't gone bad.
I don't understand this love triangle.
She's torn between her ex, Jasper Christmas, and her current boyfriend, also named Jasper Christmas.
This reads like you fed AI every Hallmark movie and told it to make something worse.
Yeah, I also included Days of Our Lives for sophistication. The AI kept trying to add a possessed ventriloquist dummy, but I told it to stay on brand.
What's this character, Dreidel McSnowflake?
Representation. Very progressive. She runs the town menorah store.
Well, I thought everyone owns a bakery.
They're edible menorahs. Hello. Try to keep up. Oh, studio notes just came in. Anyone changes, but my AI ends every scene with someone discovering their twins. And they're in a coma.
Look, you know what you're doing is unethical, right? You should just use OutSkill. They teach you how to use AI responsibly with training. Sure did. OutSkill is the world's first education platform built entirely around AI, designed for people who actually want to know how AI works. This weekend, they're hosting a live 2-day AI mastermind training, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern. It's a 16-hour hands-on training taken by more than 10 million people worldwide and rated 4.9 out of 5 on Trustpilot. This is training for anyone in tech, business, marketing, product, HR, sales, operations, or for founders and business owners. No technical background required. AI now matters in every industry. You'll learn how to build AI agents, automate workflow, connect tools like Sheets, Notion, CRMs, and email, and turn those systems into $2,000 to $3,000 per week AI services. When you sign up, you'll get a workbook to help you prepare so you can get the most out of the 2 days. As part of their New Year Upskilling Fest, it's 100% free for the first 1,000 people with over $5,100 in bonuses if you attend both days, plus access to the 2026 AI Survival Hackbook. Seats are limited. Grab your first free seat using the link in the description and pinned comment.
Yeah, learning how to use AI to write scripts and build workflows sounds like a good way to avoid being sued by Netflix again.
That's actually very responsible of you.
Yeah, well, now I'm really going to regret the gift I sent to the production company.
What'd you send?
A nutcracker.
What's the problem?
I posed for it.
In 1555, Michel de Nostradamus sat in his study in France and stared at a pool of black water, trying to see an image of the future. His prophecies made him famous, but one prediction disturbed him more than the others.
Out of the deepest part of Western Europe, from poor people, a young child shall be born, who with his tongue shall seduce many people. His fame shall increase in the Eastern Kingdom. He shall come to tyrannize the land. He shall raise up a hatred that had long been dormant. The child of Germany observes no law. Cries and tears, fire, blood, and battle.
Tears, fire, blood, and battle, eh? It sounds like my second divorce hearing.
Please, no jokes when I'm trying to build drama.
Sorry, I was triggered. Go ahead.
Germany, a good speaker, rising hatred, war. Nearly four centuries before Hitler's birth, Nostradamus saw him coming. Then in 1821, the German Jewish poet Heinrich Heine published a warning. He described a German thunderbolt that would make the world crash. He said eagles in the air would drop dead. The lions in Africa would hide in their dens. Now, to people in the 1800s, it sounded like poetry. To people in the 1940s, it sounded like the Luftwaffe. In 1830, a Bavarian forest worker named Matthias Stormberger also had visions. He saw machines that would change the world, iron wagons moving without horses, great wire boxes carrying voices across vast distances, modern technology described over 100 years too early. But then his visions turned dark. Two wars would devastate Europe. The first would last 4 years. After this war, money would lose all value. A loaf of bread would cost 1,000 marks. Then would come the Greater War. In 1923, German astrologer Elsbeth Eberton published her annual almanac. One entry stood out, a horoscope for a little-known political agitator named Adolf Hitler. She warned that this man had the chart of someone who could sacrifice himself for Germany, someone who would expose himself to danger through daring acts. She saw violence in his stars. She saw crowds following him. Now, Hitler was nobody, a failed artist turned street speaker. But Eberton's almanac sold thousands of copies. People read her prediction, and some believed. And believing made them watch for him. Across the Atlantic, Edgar Cayce had similar visions. In July 1932, he spoke about a dangerous form of imperialism rising in Europe. In 1935, he predicted war would begin in 1938 or 1939. In 1941, he predicted America's entry into the conflict. Every prediction came true. These weren't vague prophecies about distant futures. These were specific and highly detailed. Prophets across centuries, different countries, different methods, all seeing the same disaster, all describing the same man. In Munich, a small group had been collecting these prophecies for years, but they weren't trying to prevent what was coming. They were trying to create it. Prophets across centuries warned about a German leader who would bring catastrophe. In 1918, someone was paying attention. In the back room of a Munich hotel, a small group met to discuss Germany's future. They called themselves the Thule Society. They believed an ancient race lived beneath the earth. These beings gave humanity its knowledge and technology, and they chose the German people as their successors.
Lizard people?
No, they were called the Vrilya, a race of giants who escaped the Great Flood and created an underground kingdom called...
Agatha?
Yep.
Agatha linked down in your stash can.
The Thule Society had money and influence. Judges, police chiefs, military officers. They funded the German Workers' Party. That party became the Nazis. But they needed a voice. A leader who could channel this destiny. Dietrich Eckart sat in a smoke-filled room, watching a young corporal rant to a crowd. Eckart didn't see a soldier, he saw potential. Eckart was the Thule Society's most influential member. He claimed to have seen a vision during a seance, a man who would rise to lead Germany, a Führer. Eckart believed that man was Hitler. For 4 years, Eckart became Hitler's mentor. He gave him money, connections, influence, everything he needed to rise. In December 1923, Eckart was dying. Witnesses claimed his final words were about his greatest creation.
Follow Hitler. He will dance, but it is I who have called the tune. I have initiated him into the secret doctrine, opened his centers of vision, and given him the means to communicate with the powers.
And Hitler dedicated Mein Kampf to Eckart.
And among them, I want also to count that man, one of the best who devoted his life to the awakening of our people, Dietrich Eckart.
Eckhart called the tune. Hitler learned to dance. And across Germany, audiences started to believe they were watching destiny unfold. Dietrich Eckart molded Hitler into a leader, but orchestration required more than mysticism. It required showmanship. Erik Jan Hanesson was a con man. He reinvented himself as a Danish nobleman with psychic powers. But Hanesson understood something most magicians didn't. Power isn't about predicting the future. It's about making people believe that you can. Hanesson stood in front of a mirror with Hitler, correcting his posture. He taught the future dictator how to turn a trembling hand into a fist, how to turn a whisper into a roar. Hitler was a mediocre speaker. Hanesson turned him into a force of nature.
Oh, great. A dictator gets a life coach. What could possibly go wrong?
But Hanesson's greatest gift was prophecy itself. In February 1933, Hanesson hosted an exclusive event at his Palace of the Occult. He entered a trance and spoke a prophecy.
I see a great house in flames. It is not a little house. It is a very big, official-looking building, and it will be consumed by flames before the end of this month. I see this with absolute certainty.
5 days later, the Reichstag building burned, and Hitler seized power. But Hanesson knew too much. 3 weeks later, his body was found in a field, 3 bullets in the back of the head. With Hanesson gone, Joseph Goebbels stepped in. As Minister of Propaganda, Goebbels continued the Hitler prophecy. On January 30th, 1939, Hitler addressed the Reichstag. Goebbels wrote the speech. Hitler delivered it.
Today, I will once more be a prophet. If the international Jewish financiers in and outside Europe should succeed in plunging the nations once more into a world war, then the result will not be the Bolshevization of the earth and thus the victory of Jewry, but the annihilation of the Jewish race in Europe.
That was more than a prophecy. It was a promise. And Goebbels made sure everyone in Germany understood. Hitler wasn't just predicting the future, he was creating it. Prophecy became policy. Prediction became propaganda. And Goebbels was about to weaponize it on a scale the world had never seen. Joseph Goebbels established an entire department dedicated to one purpose, weaponizing Nostradamus. The propaganda ministry hired scholars to comb through the prophet's quatrains, not to study them, to edit them. They printed millions of forged pamphlets, each one carefully crafted to look like authentic 16th century prophecies, each one predicting inevitable German victory. Nazi planes dropped them over France and England by the thousands. The Allies found them everywhere, in the streets, in fields, tucked into mailboxes. Then the British responded with their own forgeries. Both sides manufactured prophecies, dropping them from the sky like propaganda bombs.
Yeah, this propaganda war still happens today. But now the pamphlets are called tweets.
I can't argue with that. For 3 years, this prophecy war worked. The German people believed. Victory was written in the stars, ordained by ancient seers. Victory was inevitable. Then Rudolf Hess destroyed everything. Hess was Hitler's deputy Führer. He'd been with the party since the early Munich days. But Hess had a secret. He believed in astrology more than he believed in Hitler. In May 1941, Hess consulted his personal astrologer, who said that the planets were aligned for peace negotiations. Saturn and Jupiter formed a favorable angle. Mars was in retreat. If Hess flew to Scotland now, he could negotiate peace with Britain and save Germany from a two-front war.
He based his flight plan on a horoscope?
He trusted the stars more than he trusted his generals.
He better hope Mercury isn't in Gatorade.
Retrograde.
What'd I say?
On May 10th, 1941, Hess flew 900 miles across the North Sea. He parachuted into a Scottish field and demanded to meet Churchill. The British arrested him immediately. During interrogation, Hess explained his mission.
I have come on my own initiative, since England cannot win the war. If we make peace now, each nation can rebuild what has been lost. But if we wait, if we continue this madness, more will die. Thousands more, millions perhaps. Please, you must listen before it is too late for all of us.
Churchill thought he was crazy. When Hitler found out, he was furious. Not because Hess failed, because Hess revealed what Hitler tried to hide, the prophecy. Hitler ordered a purge. The SS called it Action Hess. Within weeks, over 600 astrologers were arrested across Germany. Some were sent to concentration camps. Others simply disappeared. The same prophets who helped manufacture Hitler's destiny were now too dangerous to let live. The prophecy war was over, but its damage was done. The German people were taught to believe in fate, to trust that victory was written in the stars. That belief became a weapon pointed at their own future. Goebbels manufactured prophecies. He created a narrative of inevitable victory. But there is one prophecy he couldn't control, one that waited for over 2,000 years. Germany was winning the propaganda war, but there was one prophecy Goebbels never saw coming. It was over 2,000 years old, and it came from a Jewish queen named Esther. Ancient Persia, 486 BC. King Xerxes ruled the Persian Empire, but the man who whispered in his ear was Haman. Haman wasn't just an advisor, he was the Grand Vizier, the second most powerful man in the world. When he walked through the streets, everyone was required to bow. But one day, a Jewish man named Mordecai refused to bow. Haman was furious. He convinced Xerxes to issue an order. On a specific date, all Jews in the empire would be killed. But Haman had a problem. He didn't know Queen Esther was Jewish. Mordecai was her cousin. When he learned of Haman's plan, he sent a secret message to the queen. Then Esther waited. She hosted elaborate banquets. Night after night, she gained the king's trust. Then she made her move. At the final banquet, she revealed everything. Her Jewish identity, Haman's genocide order, and evidence that Haman was embezzling from the royal treasury. Xerxes was furious. He ordered Haman hanged on the same gallows Haman built for Mordecai, a structure 75 feet high, visible across the entire city.
When you build your own execution device, maybe rethink your life choices.
But Esther wasn't finished. Haman's 10 sons had copies of the genocide orders. They would continue their father's plan. Esther demanded their death as well. All 10 were found hanging the next morning. When Jewish scribes recorded the story centuries later, something strange happened. In the verses listing Haman's 10 sons, three Hebrew letters were written smaller than usual, Tav, Shin, and Zayin. One letter was written large, Vav. In Hebrew, letters have numerical values. The small letters add up to 707. The large letter equals 6. Together, they form the Jewish year 5707. On our calendar, that's 1946. The scribes were encoding a date. The pattern Esther established, 10 enemies hanged for attempting genocide, would repeat. And just as prophecy said, it would repeat on October 1946. When Jewish scribes recorded the Book of Esther 2,400 years ago, they encoded a date in Hebrew letters, the Jewish year 5707, October 1946. That exact month, in Nuremberg, Germany, several Nazi leaders were sentenced to death by hanging. 2 hours before the executions, Hermann Göring bit down on a cyanide capsule in his cell. He took his own life. That left 10. The executions began just after 1 a.m., and one by one, Nazi war criminals climbed 13 steps to the gallows, the same number of steps Haman built. Each man was asked for final words. Julius Streicher was ninth. For 12 years, his newspaper called for the murder of every Jew. Now he stood on a wooden trapdoor. He looked at the witnesses. His last words? Purimfest, 1946. Purim is the Jewish holiday celebrating Queen Esther's victory over Haman. The holiday that commemorates 10 sons hanging for genocide. Streicher knew exactly what was happening. He was fulfilling a 2,400-year-old prophecy. Hitler knew it too. In 1944, he warned his officers that if Germany lost, the Jews would celebrate a second Purim. He knew the pattern. He just thought he could break it. By dawn on October 16th, all 10 bodies were cut down. Not 9, not 11. 10 Nazi war criminals hang for genocide, the same number as Hamann's sons. The same crime, the same punishment. The prophecy demanded it. The Hebrew letters in the Book of Esther weren't a warning, they were an instruction, an ancient pattern that couldn't be broken. The Nazis spent years trying to manufacture their own destiny. They edited prophecies, murdered astrologers. But in the end, the only prophecy that mattered was the one they tried to destroy, a Jewish text. But the pattern returned, and the prophecy was fulfilled, exactly as it was predicted 2,400 years ago. The Nazis spent years manufacturing prophecies, editing ancient texts, murdering astrologers who predicted the wrong futures. But 10 Nazis hanged at Nuremberg, just like Hamann's sons. The pattern returned exactly as written. So, how much of this is real? Well, let's look at the pieces. Elsbeth Eberton did publish a horoscope for Adolf Hitler in her 1924 almanac. She warned that he had the chart of someone who could sacrifice himself for Germany. Hitler was already a public figure, a street agitator. But this wasn't prophecy, it was political commentary disguised as astrology.
Yeah, and cable news does astrology disguised as political commentary.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do.
Erik Jan-Hannesen did predict the Reichstag fire 5 days before it burned. He was executed 3 weeks later. But his prediction wasn't psychic ability, it was inside knowledge. Hannesen probably knew the plan and maybe even helped coordinate it. He was murdered to keep him quiet. The Nostradamus quatrains are real, but Goebbels' propaganda ministry changed them. The original texts are vague enough to apply to dozens of historical figures. A young child from poor people could be anyone. The Nazi version made them specific, made them point to Hitler. That's not prophecy, that's selective editing.
Government editing source material to fit the narrative. Oh, thank goodness we moved past that.
Are you being sarcastic?
Of course I'm being sarcastic!
The Book of Esther is more interesting. The Hebrew letter variations exist in every ancient manuscript we have. The numerical values do add up to 5707, the Jewish year corresponding to 1946. But scholars debate whether this was intentional or not. But the parallel is documented fact. 10 Nazis were hanged at Nuremberg for genocide. The same crime, the same punishment, the same fate as Hamann's 10 sons. Was this prophecy or coincidence? Or something stranger? A belief so strong that it bent reality to match ancient text. Here's what we know. Prophecy doesn't have to be true to change the future. It just has to be believed. The Nazis committed unthinkable crimes because they thought it was predetermined. That's the real danger. Not prophecy, the manipulation of prophecy, the weaponization of belief. And we see this today. We're told what to think by people in power. We're given narratives disguised as news. During COVID, if you questioned lockdowns, mask mandates, or any part of the official story, you were a conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy theorist, also known as someone who reads the news 2 years early.
In 2020, I publicly said that the Wuhan bat theory was propaganda. I was attacked. My YouTube channel was at risk.
Yeah, I remember. As soon as you opened your Yap, I updated my resume.
But I didn't shut up. I changed my approach. Go watch early episodes. I continued to comment on COVID and other government narratives, but I disguised it as comedy.
Yeah, what you consider passes for comedy.
Either way, if you've been watching the Y-Files for a while, you know that our episodes are aging well.
They're aging like a fine wine.
Now we know those early suspicions about COVID were justified. The government lied. The media amplified those lies. Not because they were evil, because they wanted control. They wanted us afraid, which kept us compliant. And throughout history, dictators used prophecy to manufacture consent, to make people believe their destiny was fixed. Today, it's not prophecy, it's expert consensus. It's follow the science. Anything that questions the narrative is now labeled misinformation. And we have a responsibility to question what we're told, to examine who benefits from our fear, and to resist those who want to control us through a manufactured narrative. Your future isn't written in ancient texts or planetary movements or expert predictions. Your future is determined by your choices. You can think for yourself or believe what you're told. The choice is yours. So choose wisely, choose freely, and choose courageously. Because the only prophecy that matters is the one you write yourself. Thank you so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. That's Ecclefish.
When the orange fish swims in glass without sea and speaks the truths sheeps refuse to see, the lizard people's grip shall come undone and all shall kneel before the chosen one.
I guess you're the chosen one?
Yeah, toot.
If you had fun or learned anything, do us a favor. Like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff really helps the channel, and I'm going to try to get through these plugs as fast as I can, I promise. Like most topics we cover, today's is recommended by you. So if there's something you want me to cover, something you'd like to see more about, we'll do a deep dive on, go to yfiles.com/tips. Send us an email, hop on our Discord, open a thread on Reddit. You can find a way to get to us. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. You can take us on the road. I usually post about twice a week, and those are deeper dives than the stories we cover here, and some of those episodes are ones I can't even really do here. Anyway, the podcast is called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and if you are listening on an audio platform, hit the buttons and the thumbs and the follow. That stuff really does help. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, because who doesn't, check out our Discord. We're coming up on 100,000 members, so 24/7, there are people hanging out on there talking about the same weird stuff we do here. It's a lot of fun, it's a really supportive community, and it's free to join. And speaking of 24/7, check out our 24/7 stream on the Y-Files Backstage link below. Over there, we run episodes back-to-back with some unique content in between. And the live chat is hilarious. Now, keep your eye out for a new show I'm launching called The Basement, where I'll be chatting with interesting people. I already shot a couple of episodes. I think you're going to like them. So if there's someone you want to see sit down with me and talk about the weird stuff, let me know the same way, thewyfiles.com/tips. You know how to get in touch. Now, special thanks to our patrons who made this channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. Just since the beginning, I can't believe the support that you've shown me, and I couldn't have done any of this without you and couldn't continue to do it without your support. And if you'd like to support the channel, keep us going, and join this amazing community, become a member on Patreon. It's $3 a month. You get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, exclusive content, exclusive merch, plus 2 private live streams every week just for you. And the whole Y-Files team is on. All of our webcams are on, and you could hope I didn't knock him out of his bowl. And you can turn your cam on, hop up on stage, tell a joke. We talk about a topic, talk about whatever you want. I think it's the best perk there is. It's a way to get to know us as people. Oh, another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab a Hegel t-shirt, or one of these fistful coffee mugs that you can stick your iron fist in, or whatever flavor fist you got. Or grab a hoodie, or set my face on it, or get one of these adorable, cute little, look at them, get a squeezy animal, Hegelish fish style toy.
But before you buy merch, become a member on YouTube. It's only $3, but you get a 10% off everything in the store coupon. Which means if you're going to spend $40 on t-shirts or fistable coffee mugs, become a member, it pays for itself. And look, and then just cancel. Use the code and cancel. That is there to save you money, not make me money. Besides, all that money goes to the team. I don't touch it.
Keep that secret close to your fins, eh?
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
In Area 51, a secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing it like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. I got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set? Or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told. And his name was Cold. I can't believe I'm
The Mothman sightings and the solar storm still come to a god the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found.
In a simulation, don't you worry though.
The Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe I'm dancing with the fish. Heckle fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Wild Bounds on the beat all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear the truth. So the Wild Bounds on the beat all through the night. Heckle fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Wild Bounds on the beat all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear the truth. So the Wild Bounds on the beat all through the night.